Do I wait for my spouse to change, or is there anything I can do to encourage change in them? That sounds fun.
I think the focus is on the wrong place.
Okay.
I think the focus should be on what God's doing in my life, what he wants to do in me. Mm-hmm. If the focus is constantly, they're kind of the problem because let's be honest, they're here and I'm here.
Right.
That relationship has no chance.
And that's how you feel that sounds.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing, let's just take a wild stab here. This is a woman who's frustrated that her husband isn't more spiritually active than he currently is.
Yeah, I mean,
nine times out of 10, that's a scenario.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it's a husband who's passionate about Jesus and the wife is lagging. It could be it.
For sure.
And so let's take both those. Mm-hmm. If it's a husband who is pursuing Jesus, growing, and the wife is lagging, then I would say ask the Lord to give you wisdom for how to pursue her in such a compelling way that her heart couldn't resist you even if she tried.
Yeah.
Ask God to give you wisdom to know how to win the girl every day. You know, be stronger than a nation, kill the dragon, win the girl. Kill the dragon of your own sin and selfishness and ask God to give you a vision for how to win her heart, not just once to get married, but to win her heart every day.
Right.
How to serve her, how to love her, how to pursue her. And this is going to be controversial, but how not to be a doormat. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we take this idea of this concept of servant leadership that actually I'm not sure is actually a phrase used in the Bible. And we turn it into, guys, now you need to be a doormat for your wife.
Okay.
No, sometimes you need to tell your wife, I love you. I think you're in sin. I love you. I think you're wrong. I love you. I think you're throwing a pity party. I love you. I think you're stuck in a bad cycle. Mm-hmm. I want to help get you out of that. Would you be willing to follow my leadership?
Right.
Because we take empathy and we turn it into this, whatever you feel is legitimate. And quite honestly, there are things that wives sometimes think, feel, or assume in a relationship that aren't legitimate.
Right.
And that they need, so we've had a reality where
we have had
come
this conversation
and you're like such and such and so and so. And I'm like, no, that's not accurate. That's not right. That's not what I said. That's not what they said. That's not what happened.
Right.
Here's what's going on. Here's where you missed the read. Mm-hmm. Here's what reality is. Does that help?
Yeah.
And you're like,
oh,
that is helpful.
Yeah.
Yep. So you trust me, right? And so to husbands, I would say, ask the Lord for wisdom for how to pursue the heart of your wife to win her over.
Yes.
And that doesn't always mean just rolling over and doing whatever she thinks is best, because if she's not in a healthy place, what she thinks is best won't be best.
Right.
So if you're the one with the fuller bucket, you need to be the one taking initiative and taking the leadership. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're not going to do, babe. Here's, I think, some things we're stuck on or things that we're in the habit of doing that aren't helpful. We need to pause that. I'm going to lead in that. I apologize for things I haven't done.
Yeah.
We're not taking phones to bed. We're not taking screens to bed. The last half hour of the day, we're reading the Bible together. We're praying together and we're being together. We're being married in bed together.
Right.
There could be simple things like the phone is robbing you of intimacy because you're both stuck looking at the portal to the
entire
global
universe
cesspool, as opposed to looking into the portal into your spouse's soul, which is her eyes.
You just did that. That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to men, I would say, hey, don't wait for your spouse to change. Ask the Lord to be changing you so that you then change how you're relating to them. Mm-hmm. If it's a wife.
What about, the other side?
My encouragement to her would be to stop thinking he's the problem. Mm-hmm. We've talked with numerous couples who every time that you talk with them, she's just griping and complaining about the things her husband isn't doing and not doing. And then every time I get together with them as a couple, I come away going, I like this guy. I'm not sure that he's the only problem here.
Right.
There may be expectations.
We know there's two sides.
That she has that no man could ever meet. Mm-hmm. And for this one particular couple we're thinking of. Mm-hmm.
You're
thinking of them?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Her expectations are so high, Jesus couldn't meet them.
Right.
That's not true. Her expectations aren't realistic or reasonable for a man to meet.
Yes.
And secondly, she has such a negative narrative about him. He couldn't beat his way out from under that narrative if he tried.
Right.
So he could even be doing the things that she wished he was doing, but it wouldn't count.
Yeah.
Because in her mind, he's always losing.
Yeah.
And so she's framed him as a loser and she's framed him as a deadbeat so that no matter what he does, it's under that category.
Right.
And so that's why I say Jesus would come down and try leader and she'd be like, yeah. He just died on the cross and now he's dead and now he's going to pay the bills.
Right.
I mean, she just wouldn't be happy.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's something in the heart of the wife that is an ungodly discontentedness mm-hmm. that no man could meet. So maybe you need to go to Philippians and say, hey, in all things, I've found the secret of being content.
Yeah.
And maybe it's like you need to be content and start looking for the things of God's grace. And so maybe as a wife, you need to go, I'm going to make a list of all the ways God's been gracious to me.
Yeah.
And he's been gracious to me here and here and here and here and here in my life, in my marriage, in my husband's life, in my family.
Yeah.
And maybe all of a sudden you start seeing God's grace in the life of your husband in ways you've never seen.
Right.
And now you can encourage that and call that out and speak to that and thank him for that. Mm-hmm. And you might find that in Jesus changing you, you become a means of grace by which to awaken and change things in your husband.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's an extra though. What if it is something that you're looking at and this is a spouse going, my husband or my wife is doing things that need to change because it's destructive for them. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's sin or maybe it's just bad habits and it's things that you're like, they would be so much better if they didn't do that. Like out of care and concern.
Yeah.
Like how does a spouse navigate that then?
Yeah.
How do they, obviously they're looking at their own heart. They're submitted to Christ. Yeah. They're making sure that they're, you know, walking in humility, but there are things sometimes in a spouse that you're like, this needs to change in them. Like, this is not good for them. This is not good for us. So any thoughts on that?
I'd go to Jesus, ask him to give you counsel, wisdom, and insight and how to approach it. I would not approach them in the fire.
Yeah. So, not in the wartime.
Yeah. And so if it's like the door is closed in the bedroom and clothes are flying everywhere and words are flying everywhere, it's like, that's not the time to, well, you know what? You know, now that you brought it up, you suck. It's like, that's not the moment. And,
totally.
And so it's like, wait until you think the spouse is in a place where they can receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't start a battle during wartime. Mm-hmm. Have a conversation during peacetime.
Yeah.
And then bring things up. Hey, there's some things that I want to talk about. Could we get away? Could we do a dinner, do a weekend time away? And then bring it up. Like, here's some things that I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And they may not be accurate. And so I want to submit it to you, submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. I want to submit it to you to see if you think this is accurate. And if it's not, help me understand why it's not. And if it is, help me understand things I could do to help us get better.
Yeah.
So the focus isn't, you know what? I mean, you suck at being a husband.
Right.
Here's 10 ways I think you could do a better job.
Totally.
Most men won't receive that.
Mm-hmm.
Or here's 10 ways you suck at being a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Here's 10 things. You know, most wives won't receive that.
Yeah.
It's a approach in humility.
Mm-hmm.
It's an approach of godliness. And it's an approach that allows the Holy Spirit to work in the life of the other.
Yeah.
Like, you've done this to me. Like, you pray, Lord Jesus, sicken with the Holy Spirit. And half the time when you bring something up, he beat you to the punch because you talked to him and he talked to me and you bring it up. I'm like, yeah, I already got the text message from heaven and I apologize. And I'm already further down the road than maybe you thought because of the work that Jesus has done in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you have a believing spouse, it's a different game altogether. So we're speaking to the Christian marriage here.
Yeah.
But that's where I would start. Go to Jesus, go to prayer, and then approach the spouse in peacetime for a conversation about how to approach this.
Yeah.
And when you bring it in a tone that's a teamwork tone, as opposed to an accusational tone.
Or a passive-aggressive tone.
If it's passive-aggressive, if it's accusatory, if it's critical, that's very different than a team conversation. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, we're losing games here.
Right.
I'm putting up 40 points a night. What are you doing? That's not the way to get better as a team.
Totally.
So if you're putting up 40 points a night, And they have like two rebounds, they know they're not pulling their weight. So you got to point it out. You can go, hey, we're losing games here. What do you think is the problem?
What do we need to do?
What can we do better here?
Yeah.
And you invite conversation. And in all of these things, one of the common theme is your marriage takes time.
Yeah.
Your marriage takes work.
Mm-hmm.
Your marriage takes attention.
Mm-hmm.
A stronger marriage takes intentionality.
Yeah.
A stronger marriage takes thought. A stronger marriage takes processing. And so if you don't have regular time as a marriage to get away, and date nights are good. We're not big date night folks. That's probably a bad admission to make. Maybe we should be better, but that's not the reality.
We've had seasons where we were better at date nights.
Yeah, we've had seasons. And date nights can be good.
Yes.
But we don't need a date night every week to like stay together.
Right.
Because we're working hard to stay together every minute of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying date nights are bad. I'm just saying if you're hanging your hat on, oh, we'll communicate, we'll practice our oneness, we'll have conversation, we'll process on our date night, that's putting a lot of weight on that date night.
Mm-hmm.
If we go away on date night, it's just because we want to have fun.
Yeah.
It's not because we got to process hard things.
Right.
We've made a commitment to cultivate our we
yeah.
and our oneness every day. So we don't go 3 days
right.
and get off. If we get to the end of the day and we're off,
yeah.
we're talking about it.
Right.
So keep short accounts. And then secondly, you have to have time to get away. And so we've mm-hmm. tried to do it quarterly, sometimes more, sometimes less.
Yeah.
But oftentimes these challenges are a result because you haven't been staying on the same page during the day. You yeah. haven't been having weekly date nights where mm-hmm. you can just have fun. And you haven't gotten away on a regular basis to work on your marriage. And
right.
so why are you surprised that weeds are growing in a sure. garden you're not maintaining?
Yeah.
And so one of the common, I think, solutions here is make a commitment together mm-hmm. to get more time to be away
yeah.
with Jesus and your spouse
yeah.
so you can have time to address these issues.
Yeah.
Because if you let a long time go by, small things get big.
Yeah.
Small weeds are easy to pluck when they're little.
Yeah.
Piece of cake, boop, boop, boop,
yeah.
and they're gone. If you ignore that weed because of lack of attention and time, pretty mm-hmm. soon it becomes this mini tree
yeah.
with a taproot for 4 feet, and it's going to take a tractor and a backhoe to pull that thing out.
Yeah.
When had it been addressed earlier, you're yeah. just plucking it out with two fingers.
Yeah, totally.
And so maybe one of the consistent solutions here in some of these mm-hmm. questions is make sure you have time to get away. A stronger marriage takes work.
Yeah.
A stronger marriage takes attention.
Yeah.
A stronger marriage takes time.
Yeah.
And it's something that you have to prioritize or you're going to find yourself behind the eight ball.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No.
Okay.
That was good.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Next one.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
This one says, I'm a single man and have had a lot of failed relationships, but want that to change. What are practical steps to put Jesus first in relationships right now?
Great awesome. Question. Love mm-hmm. this dude, wherever you're out there, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. We are regularly, openly enlisting more men in the Stronger Man Nation Army. So
right.
Love That's you, awesome. My man. First thing I would say is get into relationship with older men
yeah.
To get counsel from. Ask them questions, learn the art of finding mentors and mm-hmm. taking advantage of them. So I've had guys, hey, can we go to lunch?
Right.
Sure, we'll go to lunch. They don't bring any questions. They're not prepared. They're expecting me to carry the conversation. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Right.
I've gone to lunch with other young men and it's like, hey, I have five questions. I need about an hour. You got time? Absolutely. We show up. They thank me for my time and they start working through their questions because they're prepared. They know what they want to work on mm-hmm. or they don't know what they want to work on and they want to ask me to speak into that.
Right.
Don't be someone who's just constantly looking for someone else to do your job.
Yeah.
And so seek counsel, seek mentors, yeah. but also carry your weight. The second thing I would do is I would ask the Lord to show you and reveal to you through the Word of God, through godly counsel, through journaling, through His Holy Spirit speaking to you, those areas in your life that you might be carrying the burden and the baggage of generational sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so identify what are the demonic, destructive patterns of my family,
right.
of my dad, of the men in my
yeah.
family line. We're angry men, we're critical men, we're relationally destructive men, we're men easily prone to addiction,
mm-hmm.
we're petty men, we're shallow men, we're distracted men, we're successful men in the eyes of
right.
the world and failures at home. Like whatever those things are that might be in your past
mm-hmm.
as a pattern, ask the Lord to show you what that is, identify it, and then by the grace of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, resolve to, through the victory purchased by Jesus,
mm-hmm.
break the generational curses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you pull up your own bootstraps, but I am saying you get in a fight.
Right.
And realize that, you know, Stronger Man Nation is kill the dragon, win the girl.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win the girl until you've killed the dragon.
Right.
And your dragon might be your own sin. Your mm-hmm. dragon might be your own immaturity. Your dragon might be baggage from demonic destructive right. patterns from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God to show you, what are my dragons?
Mm-hmm.
Ask godly men to help you point out what are your dragons,
right.
and then ask God for the strength to go after those things and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the question you're asking is not how can I find the right girl, but how can I become the right man?
Sure.
And God's going to reveal that, I believe,
yeah.
through good preaching, through mentoring relationships, and through time spent journaling with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to encourage this young man, some of the best men I know
mm-hmm.
came from some of the worst families I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so there is hope for you to become a stronger man. You don't have to come from a long, faithful lineage to have a shot at being a stronger, faithful man.
That's right.
You can be a stronger man right now because you have Jesus, you have his word, and you have his Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And with those three resources, you're deadly.
Yeah.
You're dangerous. You can be a stronger man. So don't cut short who you have in Christ, what you have in his word, and what you have the Holy Spirit. And I've seen men open up the word of God and just devour his word. They read through the New Testament four times. And that will make you stronger than you think.
Yeah.
You don't need to start in Leviticus. You can start in John and then work through the letters and then do it again and then do it again and do it again. And as the word of God renews your mind, you're going to think clearer. You're going to think in a more mature way. Mm-hmm. You're going to think in a more spiritually sound way. Mm-hmm. And you'd be shocked at the insights God would give you about yourself and about the next steps you should take. So don't undervalue and underestimate the power of Jesus Christ in you as the ultimate stronger man, creating in you a living well that then brings forth living water. Yeah. Don't underestimate the power of God's word to point out and expose those areas of sin and shortcoming in your life.
Yeah.
And don't underestimate the power of God's spirit to be with you, giving you the strength to slay the dragon in preparation for winning the girl.
Yeah.
And just to end, just kudos to this young man for the question, because a lot of guys in his position would be like, I need to go fix this problem with a girl.
Right.
And I'm not saying that a girl can't be a part of the solution, because the right woman can bring a lot of greatness out of a young man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not saying to like put all girls on hold until you're perfectly satisfied in Jesus.
Right.
No, sometimes things can happen simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
But kudos to this young man for not just running out and trying to fill the void with a young woman, but saying, no, I gotta kill the dragon first, so I'm prepared then to win the girl.
Yeah.
So good job, dude. Get after it.
Yeah, that was a good one. It was awesome. Yeah.
Hey everybody, Pastor Josh here. Wanted to let you know about a couple cool things we got going on here at Stronger Man Nation for our listening audience. The first is a devotional resource my wife and I wrote called 30 Days to a Stronger Marriage. You can go to strongermannation.com to get that free resource that we would love to send to you and get in your hands. The second is a giveaway experience we want to give to a father and son, an all expense paid weekend. That's right. We want to bring you and your boy to our Stronger Man Nation conference this Father's Day, June 14th and 15th. No matter where you live or listen from, we'll pay for your plane tickets or train tickets or boat tickets or whatever it takes to get you here. And we'll stick you up in a hotel. We'll make sure you get great front row seats at the conference, throw in an outstanding swag bag of Stronger Man Nation swag, and even get you a backstage pass to meet some of our incredible speakers. Go to strongermannation.com to sign up to enter to win this free giveaway, and we'll see you there. Okay.
Sweet.
What encouragement would you give to a wife, this is hard,
okay,
who is married to an unbeliever while trying to live out God's design for her marriage in raising their children together? Mm. And then she says, I want to pray with him. He doesn't want to pray with him. I want to read my Bible with him. He doesn't want to read the Bible with him. Mm. I want to go to church. He doesn't want to go to church with us.
Mm-hmm.
What would your encouragement be to her?
Mm. That one's very hard and feels a little close to home of people that we know that have lived this story for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we've said it the whole entire time. Obviously, we're so grateful that this law of preeminence means that everything that she needs can be found in Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. Even though she's married to a man that's not going to provide, you know, in the way that we would hope in a marriage, you know, as far as being the head and the leader and the spiritual head of their home, she has that in Jesus. So, for this wife, that would be just my first encouragement of continue going to him.
Yep.
In the moments that you have, continue relying on him, continue leaning on Jesus. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't abandon you. He doesn't forsake you, you know? And so we've seen that lived out in the lives of some of these gals that we know that have, that this is their story.
Yeah.
And I would encourage, I mean, obviously First Peter's encouraging, for that part. And it's a great call to gals, that are in this, you know, how amazing that the Lord would put that into scripture, for you. And I got to find it, 'cause it's in here somewhere.
First Peter 3.
It's 3 something, right?
Yeah.
Oh, one, here it is. 3:1 says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. It just it's right there that to be encouraging to these women that if they continue to be faithful to follow Jesus and live in such a way that is still honoring to this marital covenant that they're actually in. Yep. So maybe they came to Christ later in their marriage. They married this man. They were both unbelievers. Now she's come to Jesus and now she's trying to navigate this situation. Yep. The Lord says, you know, continue, even sometimes without a word. That's such an interesting part there in that scripture. She's not nitpicking. She's not nagging. She's not complaining. She's not telling him all the time what he needs to do wrong. She's living in such a way that her conduct, meaning how she honors him, how she respects him, how she calls out the good in him. I mean, there's things with what she speaks, I think, to continue to walk in that, although it is really hard. And that is very difficult. Like we've talked today, we're talking a lot of times about a marriage where there's two Christian individuals together. Yeah. And so they're doing the back and forth of submitting and walking together and working on their we. That's not to be said. You can't still work on your marriage when you're married to a man who's not following Jesus.
That's right.
There are still ways to offer him respect. There's still ways to honor him in front of your children and how you talk about him. Yeah. There's still ways to follow him as best you can. Now, if he's leading into sin, that's another question. That's another story where you then are under the lordship of Jesus first, not the lordship of this man if he's calling you to sin. Yeah. And that needs to not happen. And that's something you'll have to stand up against. But I mean, as far as practically, it's like, if you can read the Bible with your kids, read the Bible with your kids at bedtime. And if he doesn't want to be a part of it, that's okay, but keep doing it. If you can go to church with your kids, take your kids to church, be around a community of believers so that you are having that fellowship that you don't have at home, and that's okay. But you can have that fellowship with other believers. There's other men that your children can observe that love Jesus. And if you're able to do that, that's awesome too. As far as practically what you can do with that, especially if you're raising your kiddos. But so, I mean, that's the first things, I guess, that come to mind. Any other thoughts that you have?
That's really good. And there's tears in your eyes because we have faces and names of women attached to this question that we love deeply.
Yeah.
And I think they're different. They're different experiences. Some are married to good men.
Yes.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Works hard, loves his kids, just not interested in the things of Jesus. And her road might be different than the man who is a bad man, who's antagonistic to the things of God,
right?
Who makes her life difficult. And that's different from a man who is dangerous and destructive and abusive.
Or evil.
Evil. Yeah. And so one man might be foolish. The other man is evil. And if you are one of those women who is in a destructive, abusive relationship where he's abusive physically, he's evil, he's abusive. We know friends who've had unbelieving husbands in bondage to sexual sin, pornography, asking them to do horrific, horrendous things in the bedroom, watch things, do things that is just toxic to their soul.
Yeah.
And they've asked them repeatedly to please stop this. They don't. And they're just trying to drag them into hell.
Right.
There could be a situation there, I believe, where the wise thing to do, the hard but wise thing to do might be to ask them repeatedly and passionately to change. And if not, to consider severing ties.
Yeah, you need help there.
And I think the Lord allows for abuse and abandonment and adultery to be reasons by which a wife could separate from her husband, sever the covenant relationship, and retain the blessing of God.
Yeah.
If you're in a situation where he's a good man, he's just not drawn on Jesus, we know that there will be challenges there. As you said, keep loving him, win him over with the conduct of your life. And we have seen repeatedly women who have used to be before Jesus, nitpicky and critical, come to Jesus and be like, I have been undermining my husband. And now because they're following Jesus, they become a better wife.
Yeah, totally.
They're more open sexually.
Mm-hmm.
They're more affirming verbally.
Mm-hmm.
They're more available emotionally.
Yeah.
They're more encouraging relationally. And the husband's like, my gosh, what happened to my wife? We've seen like hardcore radical feminist women who are just snipped the balls off their husband and carried them around on their purse.
Nice.
I am like loving him and encouraging him. And the husband's like, what is the deal? What is the change? And the husband can figure it out.
Yeah.
She's changed since Jesus came into the picture.
Yeah.
I'm super grateful for that guy. Maybe I should get to know him. And we've baptized many of those men.
That's right.
And so I guess to speak hope to this, it's not a dire situation. It is dire. It's not hopeless.
Yes.
There is hope. There is faith. If he's willing, hey, would you be willing to join a city group, to go to church, to watch this sermon, to, you know.
To read the picture Bible with our kids.
To read the picture Bible with your kids. That's the picture Bible is a great place to start.
Mm-hmm.
If a wife comes respectfully, humbly to asking a husband to lead in spiritual ways, sometimes he does it. And then that starts his own journey, right? And then the last thing I would say, and this is just a great reminder to single people, that this is why the Bible says that we're not to be unequally yoked.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing more difficult, tragic, heartbreaking than an unequally yoked marriage.
Yeah.
Where a husband is married to a woman who could care less about Jesus or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting for the husband. It's exhausting for the wife, whichever role they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you came into it honestly and that you got married as unbelievers and then God saved one of you early on, recognize that this is Jesus' story in your life and you're going to keep pursuing the outworking of redemption in that story.
Mm-hmm.
And if you knowingly married a man who had different ultimate convictions about reality than you, then realize that this is part of the consequence of your sin, not because Jesus hates you or is against you, but you violated a law of God and that comes with consequences. There can be forgiveness and redemption and grace, yes and amen.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who aren't married yet, you couldn't overestimate the value of aligning yourself in a marriage with someone who shares your values, specifically someone who has submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you are, I tell people oftentimes, you are better single and happy in Christ than married and frustrated with someone who does not share a love for Jesus.
Yeah. And not just that, one of them is going to be following the law of preeminence and one of them isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, one of you will be submitted completely to Christ, which will change everything about your life. It just does. And then the other one isn't. That doesn't work.
Well, you have two center of gravities.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the one with Christ at the center is orbiting around in one universe.
Yes.
And the person is other person is literally in a different universe.
Yeah.
So it can make it very, very challenging at every level.
Mm-hmm.
Last question.
Okay. My husband has a history of addiction, and we are currently separated because of this. We're working on getting back together, but I'm having a hard time trusting him. Is this selfish? How do I know when he is safe?
Okay. Great question, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Our heart is heavy for you.
What
oftentimes happens to women in this situation is they can unintentionally become a part of the problem. In that if they allow the problem to continue and they allow the abuse to continue, they're actually now participating in the perpetuation of it.
Yeah.
And so separating from him out of love with clear parameters and maybe some counsel in place so as to explain why you're doing it isn't selfish. It can be a great act of love.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. You're in destructive patterns and behaviors that's hurting myself now and the children. We need to separate to create space for you to get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
We're here. We love you. We're for you. But we can't continue acting as if this is okay.
Yeah.
And we can't keep turning a blind eye to your behavior so as to unintentionally perpetuate it. And so I say this, if you go to the book of Proverbs, foolish people need consequences, boundaries, and assignments.
Yep.
And so if your husband is foolish in the decisions that he's making in these addictions, you need to separate from him. That can be a consequence.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He needs boundaries, and then he needs assignments.
Yeah.
Because what's happened is trust has been violated. Trust is earned slowly and lost quickly.
Yep.
So I always say that you grow trust by drips or teaspoons, and you lose trust in buckets and gallons. And so if her trust is lost, there is no hope for the relationship, meaning trust is the currency that relationship runs on.
Yeah.
So if her trust has been lost, then the way she loves her husband is she allows him opportunities to earn her trust back.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so creating space as a consequence so she can get healthy, she can get clear, and she can be strong, and then communicating her love for him, and then getting help to articulate the boundaries that he can and can't cross, and then the assignment she can give, that's an act of love to say, I love you, I'm here for you. if you continue on this path towards righteousness and redemption and stronger manness, I want to love you and that will rebuild my trust. But what's not okay is to allow him to continue to act foolishly with no consequences. Because no one who is foolish, who doesn't experience consequences, learns. And so the danger the wife might get in is I want to cover for him. Or I want to protect him from consequences. You're actually perpetuating the problem. Your job isn't to protect him from consequences of his foolishness. Your job is to help move him towards Jesus. And so if you step back from him, that may be what he needs to wake him up to the reality that he could lose what he has if he doesn't get his crap together. And so when we say women are helpmates, we don't mean that you participate in foolishness. Sometimes how you help is you'll pull back and go, you need to get your act together. I'm here to help, but what you need, I can't offer. You need to decide if you want to change. And you need to decide if you want to get healthy. And if so, I'm in. But if not, you're going towards destruction. And if I let you pull myself and our children with you over the cliff, that's not going to be good for anybody. If a man is not foolish but evil, then I think that separation needs to be quicker and maybe firmer and harder, meaning his abuse of addiction or his addiction is leading him to abuse. So it's not just hurting him, but it's now hurting you in terms of he's putting hands on you or whatever it may be. The separation needs to happen quicker and it needs to be more decisive. We've counseled women to get restraining orders on husbands.
She probably needs some help to do that.
We have stepped in because she could be trying. And it's like, hey, sweetheart, what he's doing is wrong. What he's doing is evil. And what he's doing is abusive. And so we're going to step in now in your place so you don't have to have that conversation. We're going to have it. Because sometimes what men need is another dude. What men need is another man to go, you're acting like a weak man, not a strong man. You're a dishonorable man, not a noble man. You're a coward. You're a wimp. You're a sorry excuse of a man. I'm calling that out. She's not calling it out. I'm saying on behalf of her and Jesus, whose name you say you're following, this has got to stop and we're going to stand here until it changes. And so you want to be in a community of men like that, which is why we live in community. If I went off the rail, my dad, my brother, Adam, Kyle, there is Chris Foreman.
Get in line.
There is a line of men who Mark, John, I mean, there, Larry, Steve. I mean, there are men, a line of men who would step in and go, Sharon, we got this. Josh, clean it up. And so if you don't have men like that in your life, get to a local church, find some men that can give you counsel. So those stronger men can act on behalf of you to help you address the weaker man you're currently married to and hopefully pull him into a place of strength.
That's good.
Hey everyone, Pastor Josh here. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate the podcast, review, follow, and share to help keep unwoke, uncensored, straight talk Bible teaching coming to you for free.